This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 3rd of September 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. Today, writer and reviewer Amanda Craig is here to look at three recently published books. We'll be getting Amanda's take on Tom Holland's Dynasty, a luridly fascinating tale of the first five Roman emperors, seeing if Alice Hoffman's The Marriage of Opposites is as lush and evocative as the Pissarro paintings it describes, and going back to 1920s London to examine the second of A.C. Koenig's blind detective series, A Game of Chance. That's all to come here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. A lovely pile of books on the table in front of us today, and here to give us her opinion on them, Amanda Craig. Amanda's a novelist, columnist and literary critic for The Telegraph, Independent and New Statesman. She's currently finishing her seventh novel. Her most recent, Hearts and Minds, addresses the immigration problem and was longlisted for the Bailey's Prize. Amanda, I thought we'd start with The Marriage of Opposites and your impressions of Impressionism. The New York Times best-selling author Alice Hoffman, who's probably best known for writing Practical Magic, the book that spawned the successful film starring Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman, has published a new novel. This time it's set on the tropical island of St. Thomas. It's all about the extraordinary woman who gave birth to the father of Impressionism. So Hoffman's written more than 30 books. This latest one, does it live up to her reputation?
Oh, yes. I think, if anything, it expands it, because if you've read an Alice Hoffman, you'll know that she writes these wonderfully lush, sensuous, slightly magical novels, usually around the subject of love. But in this one, she's also taken the subject of how an artist is born and the influence that his extraordinary mother had on him. I didn't know that Pissarro, for example, was Jewish. I always thought that, you know, the great Jewish painter was Chagall. So this was an absolute revelation to discover this extraordinary background that, you know, his parents his mother is born this very, very strong, determined young woman, a little like the part played by Sandra Bullock in Practical Magic. She's determined not to fall in love, not to be feminine. She wants to run her father's rum exporting business. And she then, after a short but reasonably happy marriage to a very much older man, she's left a widow aged 29 with seven children. She meets her first husband's nephew, who's about 6 years younger than she is, and falls instantly, passionately in love with him. But the island and the Jewish community on it isn't having any of it. And they absolutely ostracize this couple, who become the parents of Camille Pissarro. So this young boy, who's very interesting and who comes into his own in the last third of the novel, is born to this union which is full of love and defiance and sensuality and colour. This novel absolutely heaves with scent and touch and beautiful birds and flowers. You just want to go straight away to explore this island, which I'd never heard of either. It's a glorious book. I mean, if you've just come back from holiday, read this book, because it's like going on holiday yourself, but with all this art in it as well.
And now, she's often billed as a young adult author, but this book's suitable for all ages.
Oh, yes. I mean, I think these labels are terribly unhelpful. I mean, she began as absolutely an adult author, and then I think slightly stepped into the young adult mould because, of course, teenage girls discovered her and found that they could read her and discover all sorts of things about people and emotion and betrayal and so on. She's a wonderful writer. I think she's really slightly underknown here and undervalued, but I would expect to see this on next year's Bailey Prize shortlist. It's really terrific.
That's The Marriage of Opposites by Alice Hoffman, published by Simon & Schuster. The This is the Monocle Arts Review. I'm Georgina Godwin. I'm joined by guest reviewer Amanda Craig. So let's move on now to Tom Holland's Dynasty. This is by way of being a bit of a serial. It continues on from his earlier work, Rubicon, which ended with the murder of Julius Caesar. Dynasty gives us the utterly compelling, in my opinion, story of the first five Roman emperors. So, Amanda, Augustus, Tiberius, Caligula, Claudius, and Nero. It's a huge book.
Well, it's huge, but it's very easy to read, partly because it's packed with scandal. I mean, there's the old joke about Dynasty being called Dynasty, and it really is true in the case of these emperors, all of whom basically are murdered. And all of whom you can't wait for the fatal blow to come. They are so revolting. I mean, the things they do to each other, and particularly to the women in their lives. I mean, I was rereading the section on Nero, who was, you know, an absolute monster. But there's this very horrible bit about what he did to Poppaea, who was this ravishingly beautiful, bit like Botticelli's Venus, woman who was married to another man who he, of course, took as his wife, abused terribly, kicked to death when she was pregnant, and then mourned and just couldn't get over the fact that he'd lost her. And then somebody found her identical twin, as it were, someone who looked just like her, except that she was a he. So this beautiful young boy called Sporus was castrated. I mean, you don't want to go there. It's so horrible. You cannot wait for the dagger to fall. But it's riveting. And of course, it's all drawn from the two great historians / scandal mongers of their day, Suetonius and Tacitus, who give you these disgustingly fascinating details about, you know, how I think it was Tiberius not only liked to throw his young men off the cliffs of Capri, but like to have them swim around his legs naked in the water and do unspeakable things to him. I mean, you could not make this up. It's beyond everyone's wildest imagination.
Now, as you were implying, Holland has a real talent for making his work accessible. It's not a dry history book, is it?
No. I mean, he was actually an English graduate at Cambridge, I think, when he began to really explore his love of classics. And he's a fabulous writer. He's so funny. He knows just what will excite and interest a reader. So all this scandal is beautifully controlled and described. You know, he's very funny. He makes you laugh at the same time as you recoil in horror. And he's a very serious historian, but he's a historian like all the greatest history writers, including Suetonius, you know, who can make it vividly interesting to the reader. And you do find yourself thinking, you know, what was a society in which people were, on the one hand, so fantastically civilized? They invented so many things, you know, central heating, proper public toilets, you know, libraries, and yet these monsters ruled them. And you know, it all began to go wrong, of course, when Rome was no longer a republic. It does make you absolutely loathe hereditary monarchy.
Comparisons to I, Claudius, are they justified?
Well, I, Claudius is a wonderful book, still read by many people, particularly teenage boys, written by a poet. I think it made you more sympathetic to Claudius than Tom Holland's much cooler, funnier appraisal does. I mean, you do realise that, you know, anybody born into this the Julian family was basically doomed. You know, whether they wanted to or not, they were going to rape, castrate, murder, betray. You know, it was sort of almost in their DNA, you might say. That was this nightmare world that they all lived in.
That's certainly a great excuse, isn't it?
Well, it is. And it's very interesting comparing it in a way with the Hoffman, because they're two basically closed societies. You know, this is what happens when people have slaves, absolute power and wealth, and they do the worst possible things with it.
Let's move on now to our last book, and this again, a serial, and Christina Koning. Now, she's a British author. I say British, but she was actually born in Borneo. She grew up in Venezuela and Jamaica, and she too has been a journalist and a short story writer. Several of her novels have been nominated for or won awards. I loved her recent book, The Dark Tower. It was set in South Africa during the Anglo-Zulu Wars, and her book about the 18th century astronomer, Catherine Herschel. Well, now she's writing as A.C. Koning, and she started a new series of detective stories set during the 1920s. So the first, Line of Sight, came out last April, and the second, Game of Chance, is out in October. So this sees the return of former soldier Fred Rowlands. How did you find this book?
Well, I should say at the start, this is published by an absolutely tiny press, and I cannot understand why, because I think it's an absolutely excellent series. I mean, it's beautifully written. The period feel is utterly convincing. And the hero, who is blind, is one of the most fascinating detectives. I mean, he was someone who was blinded at Passchendaele in, I think it's 1917. And he goes through initially, particularly in the first book, all the horrible, you know, mourning and frustration and everything that you would expect. And yet he is a detective. He's a sort of amateur detective who is obviously going to be increasingly called in by the police. And you think, well, how can a blind man possibly detect anything? And you very rapidly realise what a silly thing this is to think, because of course, you know, he can smell, he can hear, he can touch, and he's very intelligent and sensitive. So he will pick up things that other people miss. Mm. In this case, Game of Chance is all set around Camden, Kentish Town area that, you know, is not too far from Monocle. And it's about a serial killer who's killing these blonde women. And Rowlands, the hero's feelings about these women is so kind of tender and gentle. I mean, partly you suspect because he has this very, very close relationship with his wife, Edith, who is his eyes, his salvation. But he's just someone whose mind you enjoy inhabiting, which is half the secret of a really good detective story.
Mm-hmm. Do you find a big difference between Koning's style writing as AC or Christina?
I think she's perhaps more focused on driving the plot forward in this series. I mean, it does have lots of wonderful period detail, like some of her historical novels. But, you know, this is a really good yarn. And you're very anxious for this man, because, of course, how is he to defend himself if he's attacked? You know, he's an ex-soldier, but he's terribly vulnerable. Yet at the same time, he has other things on his side. And in fact, a lot of it is based on research. There was actually a club called St. Dunstan's Club, which is 100 years old this year, which was specifically for blinded soldiers. So there's a lot of stuff that's fascinating that she's uncovered.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the location just round the corner, actually, from our Midori House headquarters. Foggy London of the 1920s plays a very big part in it, doesn't it?
Yes, no, all the fog and the sort of bad smells and the bad drains and the cold and the damp, which, of course, delicious to read about now that we don't suffer from these things. But also, you know, there are some echoes with the present. You know, it's 1929 in A Game of Chance, and the Depression is about to hit everybody. So that you're very aware of all these poor people who are absolutely powerless in the face of economic disaster that's about to hit them.
And that's A.C. Koning's book, A Game of Chance. It's published next month by Arbuthnot Books. Right, so we've had a look at three books, Tom Holland's Dynasty, Alice Hoffman's The Marriage of Opposites, and A.C. Koning's Blind Detective series. The second in that, A Game of Chance, we've just been hearing all about that. Many thanks to guest reviewer Amanda Craig, and this has been the Monocle Arts Review. I'm Georgina Godwin. My producer was Fernando Augusto Pacheco, and you can join us again tomorrow for our film review. But for now, thanks very much for listening.